After initially facing over 40 criminal counts, the ex-Coliseum manager pleads guilty to just one misdemeanor, but also owing a hefty restitution.
4 years is long enough. Now it's time to move on.
That's John Butler. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Wednesday, August 26th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the finish line for one of the most complex white-collar criminal cases in McLean County history. Nearly 3 years after being indicted, the lead defendant in the Coliseum fraud case agreed yesterday to pay more than $430,000 in restitution to the city of Bloomington after pleading guilty to a single misdemeanor theft charge. John Butler will serve a three-month jail sentence under home confinement. As part of the plea agreement, prosecutors dismissed the 34 remaining criminal counts against Butler that could have sent him to prison for decades if convicted. Here's Butler after the hearing.
4 years is long enough. Now it's time to move on.
Butler and four co-defendants were accused of taking advantage of lax city oversight of the arena to steal hundreds of thousands of dollars over about a decade. In addition to that misdemeanor count, Butler's concessions company, BMI, pleaded guilty to one count of felony theft. Butler pointed the finger at two former employees who have pleaded guilty themselves in the case as the ones who stole the money.
And in pleading to a misdemeanor charge, I'm doing so not because I personally took money from the Coliseum, but I should have known. I should have known that these individuals were taking money from the Coliseum. The buck stops with me, and ultimately I owe the duty to the taxpayers, and I dropped the ball.
State's Attorney Don Knapp said the plea agreement means Butler is a convicted thief who admitted wrongdoing. Here's Prosecutor Brad Rigdon.
When we end up in the situation where there is $450,000 in upfront payment coming to the direction of the taxpayers, as opposed to a situation where there may be nothing coming their direction, and a situation where even if ordered, there may still be nothing coming their direction. So this has benefit to the citizens of Bloomington, the citizens of McLean County, as this is money that is coming directly back to them.
Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner says he was pleased with the resolution of the case, but is skeptical that $430,000 is all that was taken.
Given the fact that we were defrauded by probably much more than that, and we will probably never really know, that's just the tip of the iceberg, I'm sure.
Charges remain pending against former Coliseum general manager Bart Rogers. The other cases have also wrapped up. Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. Starting today, customers at Illinois bars and restaurants have to wear a mask while placing orders or picking up carryout. Before now, customers didn't have to wear a mask while sitting at their tables. And this is well-timed. State's Attorney Don Knapp will speak about masks, businesses, and the law today on a Chamber of Commerce member education event. Starts at 2. The November election campaign season is just ramping up, but some candidates are already looking ahead to next year's municipal contests. Attorney A.J. Zimmerman says he's running for Normal Town Council. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Illinois State University Athletics says it's not planning any job or program cuts as it prepares for an uncertain sports season because of the pandemic. Athletics Director Larry Lyons tells Eric Stock even if football can play in the spring, it won't be a full 11-game season.
There's not enough time to get that many weeks in the spring and coordinate everything with all the winter championships and the regularly scheduled spring championships. So it's going to be a truncated schedule of some kind, and most likely football will be the 8-game conference schedule. The NCAA needs to decide when official practice will start, which will be likely sometime in January, and games starting, which will likely be sometime early March, maybe late February. That needs to be determined so that you can then build those schedules and build those preseason practice schedules. And it's all going to start when they want to have the championship. And you start backing up from there. And in all likelihood, the championship will not have 24 teams. It'll be less than that.
And, of course, the coronavirus can have a big impact on how this might unfold or potentially change, including how many fans will be able to attend games if they happen in the spring. Is it realistic to think that spring football games can be the same and feel the same as we're used to in the fall?
Well, the fall wasn't going to feel the same or look the same because we were going to be limited to 20%. I think everybody is hopeful that you can make the spring look and feel like what would have been the fall. I mean, you're used to playing spring football. You had a spring football game. So I don't think that is the biggest challenge. What's the virus going to allow us to do, I think, is a question that, you know, we're going to have to follow the state guidelines on that. Are we going to be allowed to have more than 20%? I think that depends on where is testing at the time, where is a potential vaccine.
And is there a certain number of fans that you need for the higher attendance sports that you rely on for revenue to be able to to break even to do this? I'm thinking football and men's and women's basketball in particular.
We're looking at it as it's a very fluid situation. We had budgeted declines in our fall sports, in anticipating if we were going to play in the fall that we were not going to have the regular allowed attendance. So, you know, that's already built into some of our thinking. But at the same time, we understand that if we're not playing a non-conference, you're not going to have those expenses. If you're not playing as many games, you don't have as many game expenses or event expenses. So there's a lot of pluses and minuses, and it's that we're not going to know all the answers until late spring, until we see, and we're obviously going to have to react as thing goes. We know that the NCAA revenue share is down because we didn't have a men's basketball tournament last year. We know that our tickets are probably not going to be the same as they've been in the past. Our administrative unit, since we're not having fall competitions, we're not going to, you know, you don't say your ticket office budget's not going to be the same. Your marketing budget changes, your sports information budget changes, your training room budget changes, your equipment room budget changes. So as there are pluses and minuses, it's going to be very, very fluid as we go through the year and react to what we're going to be allowed to do. So it's, I know you want an answer that's pretty definite, but there's not a definite answer out there.
It's ISU Athletics Director Larry Lyons with Eric Stock. Before we let you go, the Unit 5 and District 87 school boards both meet tonight starting at 6:30. Also meeting today is the Normal Public Library Board at 5:30. They'll discuss a COVID-19 update. That is it for today. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.